Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to Loose Trails and Tales, a Red Shirt Friday edition. We gather, we discuss the issues, the long-term implications. I about got confused with which program I'm actually doing, Thomas Titus. But anyway, we take an extended look at the people and the places in rural America that truly make it what it is. Loose Trails and Tales made possible by Superior Livestock Auction. More information about the summer sale season and contacting your rep is simple to find, superiorlivestock.com. The All-American Beef Battalion continuing to say thank you to our nation's soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardians, and National Guardsmen. Only with your assistance, and that is at steaksfortroops.com. And the certified Piedmontese folks invite you to check out the niche marketing opportunity through the cattle business and the beef business at lonecreekcattleco.com. Coming to us today from Logan County, Illinois, fellow pork producer, fellow member of the Team Purebred Junior Swine Association, the fastest growing junior swine association in the country, Thomas Titus, also known as hashtag real pig farming. How are you? Hashtag.
Well, we're not too bad here in Logan County today. We've had some precipitation in the last 36 hours. A lot of things have popped through the ground in the last 12 hours, and it's a little bit later planting season, but we've covered a significant amount of ground in the time we've been allotted the prior 10 days. So things are relatively good. We got a nice sunny day here today, and we're just thankful and blessed with what we have.
I do find it interesting, and in fact, I've had several conversations this week with folks that are in the dirt farming business. And, you know, somebody told me yesterday, actually it was Dusty Feldman, I don't know that he knows, but he acted like he did, so we'll give him credit. He said the state of Iowa can plant the entire corn crop in 6 days when the weather is right. It's just amazing how quickly corn farmers get things planted once the weather cooperates.
And that's a very true statement. With technology today, it allows us to run a little bit longer hour, a little bit harder. I mean, the size and scale of equipment is a lot different than what it was 15 years ago. I mean, I know my father personally, I mean his planter's doubled in size, and that's the exact same story for my wife's family that I farm with today. I mean, their planter's almost tripled in size, and so you can cover a lot more ground and a little bit less time. And like I said before, I mean, especially with the type of technology that we have, I mean, you can get a lot more done whenever it's dark out and you don't have to worry about finding a marker row quite as intently as what you once did with today's technology. And I mean, it's a blessing. And I mean, much like a phone service and internet and anything else, I mean, it's great when it works, but whenever it doesn't, we seem lost. Yeah. And so far the planting season for us has been relatively progressive. It's been very good.
Yeah, I think my listeners would be very interested to make sure that the corn crop is being planted properly in the I state so that we have a proper corn crop. I don't think anybody's talking about shortage of corn, are they?
Certainly not at this stage of the game. There was a significant amount, I think you can kind of see in the grain market reaction when a progress report has came out. We've seen a little bit of a price reduction in terms of your meals, soybeans, corns. I mean, not significant, but I mean, you begin to see a little bit of that, especially after the percentages increased like it did. I mean, we finished corn this week, and we didn't start until the prior Monday. And so, I mean, you can cover a lot of ground in a short period of time, and that progress percentage can increase rather drastically. And in relatively short work as well.
Mm-hmm. Fellow pork producer, what's your pulse on the pig business right now?
The pulse on the pig business, I mean, we had some optimism there, probably 12 weeks to 16 weeks ago. There was some opportunity to position yourself relatively well for almost the remainder of 2018 and the futures market, if you capitalize upon it, I mean, things that your return right now is looking really relatively well, depending upon how long you held those positions and before liquidating them, then there's been some opportunity. But your current state, I mean, in the last 6 weeks, we've seen quite a bit of a turn for the tide, per se, with the announcement of the tariffs and the tit-for-tat type of retaliatory tariffs between the United States and China. We saw a pretty drastic downturn in the pork market very, very quickly. And so, I mean, it's stabilized. And I mean, today, I mean, there's a little bit of green getting put down on the board, which is always nice, but, it's a far cry from where, it was potentially trading at about 12 to 16 weeks ago. And like I said, I mean, if you position yourself well and utilize, the tools that are available to pig farmers, there was opportunity to capitalize upon some of that. But if you go into these summer months and we're going in completely blind, expecting it to just be there, your hindsight's very clear right now, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the market right now, I mean, we're below break even type of production costs, for many folks out there. I mean, your real, real low cost of production type of farms are probably still putting out a little bit of black ink, but not too terribly much. But I mean, outlook going into the summer months, I mean, it looks good. I mean, there's certainly some opportunity there. And I think as the year continues to progress, we're not much in a much different state of price, than what we may have seen 12 months ago. But, hopefully we see a little bit more of a summer demand increase. And as we begin to progress through some of these trade agreements, as the NAFTA renegotiation continues, the continued rejoining of the TPP talks, I mean, that was a great thing, but I mean, that was pretty much taken off the table. And I mean, just with China, I mean, they're the largest producer and the largest consumer as well of pork products. And so, I mean, they play a major role in terms of, I mean, what we do on our farm, just from a soybean standpoint and pork standpoint. And so, I mean, anytime there's challenges or discussion that there might be some foreign markets being lost, I mean, it's very concerning. But I think that there's some willingness to talk and discuss between those two countries. And it seems like, I mean, there's some opportunity and some playing field that is we'll be able to negotiate upon. And so hopefully the right things are said and the right things are put into action with the trade representatives that are managing those negotiations.
One thing I've not talked about, Thomas, and this came to light 1 week ago today. What's your take on I believe it was a $50 million verdict against a pig farm in North Carolina, which we would previously call a frivolous lawsuit, and yet the folks who want to end animal agriculture got a leg up with this particular court proceeding. What's your take on that?
It's very concerning because what this does is it sets a precedence that there's now an opportunity. I mean, we work very hard every single day to be raising our pigs as best as we possibly can. And we're, as pig farmers, we're always looking for new types of technology that we can implement on our farms to do a better job and reduce odor. And I mean, we just met with a company yesterday, my father-in-law Dave and I did, that utilizing a rotational composting versus your standardized bunkers and bays and things like that. And so, I mean, it's a little bit different type of approach. But, I mean, it's just one thing that farmers are always looking for ways to do their jobs better. And, I mean, it's concerning. I mean, out here in the countryside, whenever we're raising our pigs and we're taking care of our animals and we're making sure that they're healthy. So we go back to being able to provide a nutritious source of protein for countries abroad. It's very important for us here. And whenever you begin to set that precedence, it does become very concerning. And it'll be interesting to see, I mean, what happens in the future and now that has occurred.
Mm-hmm. You are in a very unique position that not a lot of people are in anymore. You obviously, we hear you speak, we know that you're in the commercial pork production business, but you're also in the purebred business on the Chester board, I know. And you raise some Yorks too, don't you? Yorks and Chesters?
That is correct. Chesters are what we per se is our bread and butter, and the Yorkshires are what I grew up loving. And so we've diligently been trying to progressively move our Yorkshire herd in the right direction from a genetic standpoint and production standpoint. And we're making good progress, but the Chester Whites has always been where my father-in-law and my late brother-in-law's passion has been. So we kind of continued that today. It kind of gives our kids, my wife, Brandon, and I's kids, Reagan and Lakin, and my nephews, Ryder, Brantley, and Colton, the way to remember their uncle and what he started so many years ago.
There's a lot of folks that don't realize how many purebred animals, and we own only purebreds at our place, but how many purebreds still exist and how rapidly growing the interest in non-farm kids and getting involved in what you and I take part in, and that's the team purebred of exhibiting livestock. It's a significant endeavor. About 2 to 3 million pigs a year are born in the hands of junior livestock exhibitors. I don't think people realize it's that significant, just in the pig business.
No, I mean, the interest is continuing to grow, and the support from local communities is continuing to grow. That helps make it more enticing for these young people to become involved, because not everybody has that opportunity to go back to a diversified type of family farm, and, or the ability to even raise an animal at home sometimes. And these schools that have built the facilities and structures to be able to support these FFA programs to be able to do this is just absolutely amazing. It's absolutely astonishing. And I mean, we work with a lot of families from Oklahoma and Texas, and the support that those states have for their livestock programs is something to be envious of here within the Midwest. We sometimes know how good some of our 4-H and FFA and kids that do show livestock really have it, because I work with a lot of families. I mean, they don't have a farming background. They don't have an agricultural background, but they're in an ag class, and there's a lot of other kids that were going through and showing livestock, and like, hey, why not give it a try? And I mean, those are the type of families to work with. I mean, really, really get in on the grassroots of it. And I mean, what they learn and what they take away from working with livestock. And I think a lot of times you see some of these national shows where the renowned judges are talking about, I mean, how we're utilizing the livestock to teach the children, and so the children teach livestock. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, just a lot of core character building type of values, from responsibility to adaptability, and accountability, and things like that, that these kids are working towards. And I mean, one really cool thing we're doing here in Illinois is we've met with a group, a Christian ministry group, that they're kind of doing something very similar to that here. And they're taking kids from underprivileged homes, and they're showing livestock here in Central Illinois. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we are so proud to be able to be a part of and help support and help these kids learn something beyond what they have at home. I mean, they're getting an experience truly of a lifetime to be able to work with livestock like this.
And we did not even get to talk about your travels and working with the Pork Board and spreading the good word. Thomas, you're going to have to come back, because we're out of time today.
10 minutes goes fast, doesn't it?
Oh, man. Particularly when you got somebody worth talking to. Thomas Titus from Central Illinois with a report of a variety of things here today to close out our week. Loose Trails and Tales. Always remember, be gentle, stay firm.